CliffCentral.com.
Yo, what a Monday, man. And I have to say, I am on holiday. And paid holiday. And welcome to Belighted. My name is Romeo. And of course, I'm with yours truly, all beaten up from the softest. Welcome, Remster.
No, you can't say I'm all beaten up. What does that even mean?
No, you said you were beaten up.
No, I said I left my voice.
You proudly said you didn't sleep for 3 days. And you should have seen your eyes how they rolled when you say you didn't sleep for 3 days.
No, I didn't sleep for 3 days because, I mean, we were just partying the whole way through. But
and I know,
and my voice is not dead because I was screaming. My voice is dead because and it's just not dead. It's just sounding so romantic. No,
it actually,
right,
I like it. It's
but
nice. And
yeah, it's because I didn't sleep. But I don't scream.
But you know why you didn't sleep? I call you the Three Musketeers. Every time you are with Renata. And what's the other friend of yours? What's her name?
Leander.
Oh, Lord.
And Tabi. So this time. Gosh.
I saw the photos.
Time.
I'm like, you know what? Yeah. So much catching up. It's going to be crazy.
No, we had fun.
Yeah, I can imagine.
We had so much fun.
Yeah. Anyway, Belighted is about you. And Belighted is about bringing the light bulb out of you. You will usually beat it out because by the end of the show, you will definitely know what you want to do with your life. But most importantly, we actually love for you to engage us. And our WhatsApp number, you can actually engage us live. And it's 079-748-2090. That's 079-748-2090. And we are excited to be here. And on a sad note, Joe Mafela, man.
Yeah, man. Yo, what a blow. Shock. It was a blow because another thing is that while we were at the softest, you know, we all partied and everything. And when I went back to my room eventually at 6 o'clock, another radio station called me because they wanted me to, Capricorn FM called me because they wanted to like ask me what I thought.
Don't you like that about the and radio? We can talk about other radio stations.
Thank God, you know. So anyway, Capricorn FM calls me and then they're like, say, oh yeah, you know, we just wanted to hear your thoughts about Baba Joe Mafela.
And you,
like,
you were Joe not Mafela? Told before.
I was like, what's wrong with Joe Mafela?
Ish.
And they're like, how? He passed away yesterday. Yo. That was it. I was like, I just hung up. I was like, no, guys, that cannot be. But yeah, unfortunately, it was.
But also, I'm a bit sad with the story that, you know, it's like now he's passed on, and then there's this story about exploitation that really hurts even more.
It is, but I mean, exploitation, especially in the entertainment industry, it's not
a new thing.
It's always been there. I mean, for someone like Joe Mafela, that man literally carried chicken licking on his shoulders all by himself. I mean the tagline, the selling point, everything, it was based on that. And I was listening to Jacaranda this morning. Oh, gosh, I'm listening to...
I love how you say Jacaranda.
Yeah, to Jacaranda.
Yes.
And this guy was actually saying it would have been awesome had chicken licking given Joe Mafela shares because he literally carried them...
And for so long.
For so long. And now it is all like upmarket. It's in Sandton. It's in Rivonia.
Yeah.
It's in Wollumlecall. It is like all over these nice posh places. And you don't just find chicken licking all over your taxi ranks anymore, you know?
No.
Because it has crossed over. But hey.
Drive-thrus,
We've got drive-thrus.
Yeah.
And
well,
Ratovica.
On behalf of Belighted, we just want to send our heartfelt condolences to the Mafela family.
Yeah.
And may the Lord give you the comfort and the peace you need as you go through this moment.
Yeah, no, definitely. That is so true.
On a lighter note, the softest. The winners. The winners, man.
Yeah.
Warren Masemola, for me, did it. I am so excited.
For me, that was the end of the show.
That was like...
That's where it should have ended.
After Warren won, you don't understand. I got excited like I was there.
But then, you know, when you're at the softest, you know, when what people see live on TV and what happens live is crazy.
Yeah.
There's this dance that Warren Masemola did after his speech.
Yeah.
But then it had gone on commercial break. I don't think everyone has seen it.
Okay.
But he was wiggling on stage.
But what
and it was like holding his golden horn like, can you see me? Can you see me? And he was like waving. No, he was so excited. And when we got to that club, he opened the circle and he just danced the whole night. I don't know where Warren is right now, but I think he is sleeping. He cannot be up. He cannot be up.
You don't know how much I actually retweeted everybody's tweet about Warren. Like, you know,
Warren was about that.
Very well deserved.
You know, there were a couple of glitches. Not glitches. People were complaining that some of the shows that won, they didn't know them. you know? And I keep, and sometimes Black Twitter, they would complain. They say, yeah, why are you complaining if these other shows on, you didn't vote? Mm, mm. But you see, the subtest, it doesn't, don't work like that.
Mm.
The only 2 hours that get voted for is the best presenter and the best soapy or stroke telenovela, which is, that was taken by Isibaya.
Mm.
But all the other ones, it's like a panel of judges. It has nothing to do with the public.
Mm.
I'm sure the quality of the other shows, some of them also didn't know either.
Hmm.
I think they probably did well. They had good qualities and all of that. But a show like High Rollers and The Road, what was intriguing for me was that The Road and High Rollers, they've been canned.
Oh.
Yeah, they were canned. Mm. They were like, these shows are not doing well.
Mm.
Take them off. So yes, they took them off.
On
and the next thing, they're the ones that won.
Yes.
And I'm like, what are you saying to the other shows? What are you saying? Are you saying we actually made a mistake? We are sorry. Or here's like a consolation prize.
Yeah.
Or you were good, but you were not that good, but you beat everyone else that is still on air. Like, I still don't understand that equation.
But
I don't know how
they did it. Do you also notice, I'm a bit concerned and a bit worried that it's like awards after awards. There's kind of like now a little bit of controversy, and it's kind of like building, you know, from the Metro FM Awards, and then now the SAFTAs. You know, it's kind of like we need to make sure that our award ceremonies don't lose credibility.
But you know, I think the the South African entertainment industry is kind of taking a whole lot in. Okay, I can't speak much for the music for the music industry, but for the TV and film, it's difficult. Which is why we've got the Oscars in the US, the Emmys, the Dove, the Golden Globes, all of that, because the Oscars are more film, the Emmys are more series and dramas, like stuff on TV, and then the Oscars are more.
And there's
big
also
screen.
The Guilds,
but
something
now,
like
yeah,
Guilds Awards.
Yeah, yeah, but now with the SAFTAs, we're trying to put in TV. Drama, telenovela, movies, reality show, documentary, current news, music shows, everything. That, like,
I just had a belated
moment.
It's
all in one. It's all in one. So we need more awards. Yeah, what belated moment?
I think I need to get you into these committees. I think I need to campaign, because clearly they need you on these committees.
Maybe they
You are the veteran, Pella, here.
they
need to
it's
recognize.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of hard work.
But also I was quite sad that Mom Lillian Dube comes out and says she actually was not invited to the SAFTAs.
A lot of people were not invited to the SAFTAs, and I think that is a big, big problem.
Hmm.
And I also had like a bit of a problem with that, because a lot of people who are on TV, actors and whether they do adverts, series, they were not, most of them were not invited. But then other people's friends were invited to the SAFTAs.
No, but you find that
musicians
these awards,
were invited to the SAFTAs.
These awards, there's more the people who are not contributing a lot to the particular award than the people who are.
Yeah. So, So Mom Lillian Dube, just because she's the one who actually spoke out now, it doesn't mean she's the only one who's upset. Everyone else is upset about how the SAFTAs were handled.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway, today's guest.
A good 10 minutes of like,
But you know, I have to say, I really love your life. You know, you kind of like have this schedule. You know, you are flying. You know, you are busy. I actually have to book time to see you. And she's my co-partner.
I wish. In fact, what I want to do is that for each and every move that I make, I should make sure that like someone pays the invoice for it. I think we'll have a different conversation altogether. I'll be doing this show from New York. I'll be like, hey, when I press Appella, don't play.
Can we honor the I love the red number you're wearing. Who dressed you for the
I was dressed by Rubicon. In fact,
wow. That was a beautiful dress.
We were dressed by Rubicon, me and Leander. And shout out to Hangwani.
Yeah.
Hangwani, you did well.
Yeah.
Call her Wagamanda. she is. Okay. She is amazing.
No, but amazing, I have to say. You actually always look ravishing when you go out to this, especially red carpet. You never disappoint.
Thank you, Maronza.
No, I'm serious.
I like you too.
Anyway, please introduce
let's
our guest.
Let's do the show. Yeah. Okay, guys. Mm. Romeo, you must not even. I'm warning you right now.
Sure.
Let me tell you something. Okay, we've got a guest in the studio and he happens to know me.
Yeah.
Romeo says, everyone who comes in, I know they know me. You know, I don't know. He says, we know each other. Someone is calling me. I don't know who.
Tell them we are busy here.
Oh, I actually know who it is. It is Exclusive Books.
Oh, nice.
It's fine. I'll talk to them later. Now, Romeo says, everyone who comes into studio, I know them somehow. And I like to disagree most of the time, but to some extent, he's always right, unfortunately. Or fortunately, for that matter. Mm. But now, today's guest, I don't know. I didn't have a choice. It's not like I wanted to know him. It yeah. just happened.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, in studio today,
drum roll.
We have the most focused.
Yeah.
Do. Oh. I'm not done. The crazy. The not so shy. The very not so reserved. The very handsome. Like handsome times two.
Right. And I'm a guy and I'm agreeing.
Yes, you are agreeing. Eh? He is.
Yeah.
And more than anything, yeah. intelligent.
Yeah.
Very, very intelligent.
Yeah.
He sees business in anything and everything.
Do you realize we've never done a drum roll like this
yeah.
before?
Yeah, carry on. And if he could sell you oxygen for you to breathe, he would. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got Miles Kubega in the studio.
Welcome, man.
Hey, Miles.
Hey, how are you?
All right, how's it? Good to see you.
Likewise.
Yeah.
So you had a hectic weekend.
Oh, no. You don't even want to know. You don't even want to know.
The hecticness starts from the driving.
Oh.
Yeah. We were driving so slow because we were talking yeah. too much, so yeah. much in the cab.
So much to catch up on.
Yeah. Okay. Enough about yeah. those ones.
Right.
Stop taking us back to the weekend, when Miles.
No problem.
We're going to talk about you.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about you. If right. you don't know who Miles is, Miles is that guy who saw an opportunity from a Hansa ad. It was Hansa, right?
Yeah, it was Hansa.
Vuyo's Burevors.
Mm.
Yeah. When that
Vuyo the big
Vuyo
dreamer.
Is a big
dreamer. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then next thing, we had a business happening. Next thing, there was Vuyo's for real. And I was like, I thought Vuyo was not real. Then I actually found out it's actually Miles behind the Vuyo thing.
Yeah.
Behind the Vuyo dream.
Mm.
So one of the things that I know a lot of radio stations and most of your interviews, they always ask you, why did you do this? And how did you like check the Hansa thing and say, okay, fine, I want to take that over and turn it into like a proper business venture?
Mm.
Yeah. We just like we go, we roll.
So I saw the advert like everybody else, and I wondered if it was based on a true story. I wondered if Vuyo actually existed, right? And I googled only to find out it was not. It was just a fictitious character that was just thought up by this advertising agency. And I thought to myself, you know, you could live your whole life and never create a brand.
Mm.
And in this case, here it was being funded, and it flighted for a long time on TV.
Mm.
And wherever you go in the township, you hear kids, Vuyo, you're such a big dreamer. And I thought, well, I literally pulled up my hand and I said, listen, I'm going to trademark this. And that's what I did. And from then onwards, I became Vuyo.
Yeah.
But also, I think that's a very, very interesting way of doing or starting things.
Mm.
But then, were there any hurdles that you had to cross? Because I don't think, obviously, it was handed to you on a platter. You actually had to, you know, go and resistance, people thinking, but it was my idea. Were there those kind
no,
of things?
No, actually, there was zero hurdles from that perspective. Mm. In fact, the Sunday Times did an article on us, and that was the first time when I found out what SAB thought of what we did, because the journalist went and asked SAB and said, listen, there's this guy who's using
stole you.
Yeah. And stole is such a strong word. Who repurposed your.
I love the diplomacy.
Yeah. And that was the first time I heard. And they said, well, if he's got the kahunas to do it, good luck to him and congrats. And that taught me an important lesson that in life, it's better to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission.
Right.
Hey,
so
wow.
I live by that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's something interesting. You must really have a very good memory. Your mom said something to you when you were 3 years old. Like, how do you come back and actually, as an adult, and you actually remember that? And I think it actually is a foundation
for
of
everything.
Where you are now.
Yeah, well, my mother always said to me, from as long as I could remember, that don't be an also-ran in life. If there's 5,000 people running a marathon, 4,999 of them served to legitimize the winner. So she basically said, I must go out and change the world and stand for something. And I remember thinking to myself, lay off me, woman, I'm only 3 years old. And but I guess that is that sense of purpose that made me see an opportunity like this and execute it. Because I get a lot of people coming to the restaurant and saying, look, dude, I saw the same thing and I thought of doing exactly the same thing you did. And the only difference between myself and them is that I actually just did something. That's it.
You know the adage that a lot of entrepreneurs say, I don't know who came up with the quote, but it says, you know, entrepreneurship is like you're standing on the cliff. There's someone who's contemplating to jump, and then there's someone who jumps and actually build a parachute on the way down. Would that really sum up what you just said?
It would, but I would recommend that you jump with a parachute already on. That kind of helps your way down. But I mean, I think what that adage is basically saying is that life is not linear. You know, there's ups and downs, there's zigs and zags. And as an entrepreneur, you need to be willing to believe in something, even though there's no evidence that it's going to happen. It's almost like religion. It's almost like faith. You know, you gotta believe it's going to work. So I think the jumping off the cliff is not so much about the parachute or the tools. It's about believing that you will land. That's the most important thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So usually Remstar handles the more softer stuff. And I usually allow her to do it because she does it best. Remstar usually talk about family and kids.
Yeah,
and
well, I wanted to talk about your mom.
There you go.
Because I would expect your mother to say that because, I mean, I've known your mother for like, what, 25 years now.
And you say you don't know a lot of people.
Well, nice. We've known each other for 25 years.
I promise you know what, Miles, we can actually randomly pick a person and say, Remstar, do you know that person?
No, sure.
They'll probably
I believe.
I can't believe it. In fact, it's true.
You have this automatic warm reception that everybody believes.
Like Rush.
Everybody is like somebody meets you and then they for some reason they feel. You see, there's a difference between I know you and I feel I know you.
Because
I think that is actually a big compliment because you will never struggle for anything in your life.
I received that.
Amen.
Now you were just like preaching. Okay, you know, I want to talk about your mom. Your mom was a. She's not anymore.
She's retired now.
She was a nurse, a sister.
No, she was in market research.
Market research.
Yeah.
No. That was my aunt.
Aunt. Yeah.
She was in market research. Yeah. But one of the things that I remember about your mom is that she's always been tough. I mean, I saw her a few months ago, and she still sounds the same like she did. A long time ago.
Yeah.
You think someone has aged and then you realize that no, the brain and that tongue is sharper than ever.
This is true.
And she's always been such a go-getter. And in fact, your mom, I remember she got my aunt to get into different types of businesses. Say, when I Julia, you can't just be a nursing sister all of your life. There's so many business opportunities. So when I see you doing all these things like Vuyos and I was like, he takes after his mom.
Yeah, and she's
the real business
person. She's a tough woman.
She's a tough woman. And he might be the Vuyo, but she is Vuyo's mother. You don't walk into that Vuyo.
Well, funny enough, like in the advert, you know, it's exactly the same. But what I've always found interesting about my mother is two things. She never says goodbye when she hangs up, and it used to frustrate the hell out of me.
Okay.
When she's done, that's the end of the conversation.
She hangs up.
You'll be like, you know? And then the other thing was, she always said fast forward. You know, when you're speaking
like,
get to the point, you know? And she's like, she literally do the hands gesture of, get to it now. And I also, I just found that as something now I do a lot of. I like to get to the point very quickly, you know. So you do take after your parents, I guess.
You are a firm believer that And I think it's very important. And I really want our belated listeners to learn this from you. Mm-hmm. The importance of saying, don't start a business to make money and money being your only focus. Mm-hmm. Because then, you know, you kind of like are applying for failure. Because we are looking at, for example, you are blessed to have a mother that you have. She kind of like really helped you to navigate the entrepreneur world as well as you did. But then what about someone who, for example, they are an accidental entrepreneur. They need the money. They know they've got a skill. They don't have a mother to kind of like encourage them. Basically, their background is not as awesome as yours. How would you help them to navigate this journey with more discipline? Yes, they want the money, but, you know, to kind of like take a couple of things of importance to note.
Yeah, I would basically say they must buy my book.
Ah, nice touch.
I agree.
No, I'm partly joking, but the reason why I actually wrote the book, it was I had that same frustration. So every book on entrepreneur I could find, it was written by entrepreneurs who were already successful. Mm-hmm. Wow. So guys who've made major success, they were older and they were reflecting back on their lives. But when you read the book like that, it already feels like it's got a veneer of success. Like the guy knew was going to be successful. Mm. There was no book that the guy was in the trenches right now. He was hustling and he was telling me his journey whilst he was in it. Mm. Because they were all written 20 years after the success type of thing.
True.
So then I thought to myself, I mean, I'm going through so many challenges and I'm learning and I'm picking up some tricks and some things suck. And I thought to myself, well, why don't I just start writing this? Mm-hmm. And I started writing it because it was also for me. Like I was thinking, what would I tell my younger self?
Yeah.
Like how would I do it better if I were to had someone tell me how to navigate through this.
Right.
And particularly because also if you're black in South Africa, it's a big challenge. There's no major role models you can look up to and say, this guy built something from scratch. It's not a mine. Mm-hmm. It's something that he built, a product that didn't exist. Mm. So because there aren't any role models you can look up to or call and say, listen, I'm going through this part, most people quit because they think they're doing it wrong when it gets difficult. So I then started writing the book, and it was literally a cathartic experience. It was just to download the stuff that was frustrating me in my head. Mm-hmm. And before I knew it, there was a book. And and that's why I would say I would recommend it to someone, because I wrote some parts of my journey and the lessons I picked up along the way.
Because for me,
I just wanted to throw a stingyana.
Okay, are you advertising the book?
So if you just tuned in, we are speaking to Vuyos Miles Kubeka. He wrote a book called From a Big Dreamer to Living the Dream.
No, there's two bigs.
From a big dreamer
to living the dream.
Yeah, thank you. So from a big dreamer, I'll add another one, to living the dream, and that's Miles Kubeka in studio on Belighted today. And of course, if you want to interact with us or particularly ask him a question, you can reach us on our WhatsApp number 079-748-2090. That's 079-748-2090.
And we see Pilem sitting on the front row. Yeah.
Ah, she's nice. Like,
can you see me, guys? I'm here. I'm sitting. We see you, baby.
So now, What I like from what you just said is the importance of saying, if something doesn't exist, you must create it.
Yeah, and that boils down whether it's writing a book or going through the business, right? Mm. Is that I think the greatest businesses come from a personal frustration. Mm. So you see something in the market and it's not addressing your personal need, and you start thinking, but why isn't there a solution for this? And then you look around, it turns out other people are seeing the same problem, but no one is stepping up to the plate to resolve that problem, right? And that's literally what entrepreneurism is. It's about seeing that opportunity. And to go back to your previous question, it's not necessarily about making money. It's literally about addressing the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no money in writing books. It's mostly return on ego than anything else.
Yeah.
But I felt it was something that was important for me to do.
Mm. And now, just a quick follow-up question before the Ramstar comes in. Mm-hmm. I think a lot, for example, I'm also a speaker. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I do is to get feedback. from, you know, the patrons or the delegates to in terms of if they've learned anything from my talks. Mm. And one of the things that you touch on is, you know, what is your take actually on the fact that a lot of speakers, and it happens a lot locally, where someone comes in, they're very successful, they just say, I grew up in this shack, I now stay in Bryanston. Mm. And then, so it's like fast forward. Mm. Then it really speaks to what you're saying. The going deeper into the struggles of having nothing or, you know, starting from scratch and actually building a successful business. So what is your take or what is your view on the importance of actually giving people step-by-step, blow-by-blow journey of how you made it?
I, to be honest with you, I think, you know, if you're South African, you've at some point have had a tough journey in some shape or form. I think we live generally in a world where everybody's about instant gratification. They want to see the successes, but no one wants to read the backstory, you know. So I do think the successes are important because then, you know, it helps people to look up to somebody. I do think, though, the journey is as important because if it's told well, because it's one thing to tell the story, but it's one thing to say, this is what I learned from it. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that's where the difference I find is that it's, you know, everybody's got a sob story at some point. But it's like, well, you know, from my journey here, this is what I took out of it. And this is what has served me in getting me forward or moving me forward. So I find that for me is the trick.
Wow. Sorry, like I forgot I'm on radio. I'm like just listening now.
Taking it all in.
Yeah, I'm taking it all in. Yeah. And while you're talking, when I'm remembering a whole lot of things as well. Okay, I want to talk about Rush eventually because you know Rush is my guy.
Yeah,
right?
Of course, he's everybody's guy.
Yeah, exactly. Rush man. Okay. Yeah. But what I wanted to ask is that to say about the book is that I find that like you're saying that someone would have. After they've been very, very successful, we're like 20 years later, write about the journey. And what I liked about what you did here is that it's like a little manual, like where you can go back and say, okay, I remember in this part of the chapter in my life, I shouldn't have done this way.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then so it's okay now, that didn't go down as well as I thought it would. But anyway, moving right along.
Yeah.
And before the actual verse, I remember you had a whole lot of ventures you got into. I remember you guys did IT with a group of your friend, your friends, and you guys were just like big dreamers still before there was even the Vuyo, the big dreamer. And it wasn't just that; it was also another company that had to do with cellular networks or something.
Yeah. So,
tell us some of those other businesses because now, like, I'm talking from the home at home info. Sure.
But you know what? What scares me about you is you have such sharp memory. It's amazing. I remember, Miles, we had an interview. She actually told someone what they were wearing, what color, like 55 years ago.
So because I want you to, for someone who actually hasn't read your book, who doesn't have your book yet, I want you to tell some of those intriguing stories of that other venture and the other one venture and a whole lot of other businesses that you got into.
Mm. Yeah. Well, one of the main thing why I actually wrote the book like a recipe book.
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted it because I'm actually, funny enough, I'm in culinary school right now. And one of the things is that a recipe, I don't think there's a recipe for success. Mm-hmm. But I do think there are recipes that if you do utilize them, you might come up with a good meal.
Yeah.
Mm. Right? But you may not, because success is dependent on so many things. And luck is also a huge part of success, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you got to at least know the basics. You got to do the basics right. Like in cooking, there's, you know, there's basics you got to do.
Switching on the stove.
Yeah. And putting some olive oil and some onions and, you know. And you're not ever going to cook anything unless you switch on the stove.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So you can have all the right ingredients, but if you don't switch on the stove, it's not going to happen. Mm. So that was that side of the book. Yeah, and so when I left Microsoft, because, in fact, that's another interesting part, I come from an IT background, and I went into food, so that's been fun.
Huge switch.
Yeah, it's a big switch.
Yeah.
But when I left Microsoft, a colleague of mine and I, we started a software company. And it was great. We were writing code and we're doing some really, really cool
things. Which languages?
We're using C++ because and C#.
Mm. Hey, there's a note on my piano that is C#. That's all I can say.
It was cool. We were writing solutions for emergency medical services. Right. You guys couldn't find the ambulances. We'd write code to find it and stuff. So that was really cool. And, you know, we grew the business. But what I didn't like about it is that every month felt like we were always working to pay salaries. You know, and my colleague comes in the one day and says, "Are you enjoying what you're doing?" I'm like, "Not really, you know. I mean, and he says, "But this is our business. Surely we should be having fun."
Yeah.
I go, "You would think." And he says to me, he doesn't want to look back 5 years and we are so-called successful in big inverted commas, but we didn't enjoy the journey. So he says, "Let's go jump out of an aeroplane." And that's what I said, right? I laughed. Yeah. I was like, "No, this guy, really, come on." And then he organizes it. The next Saturday, we're at...
the Carlton View.
Yeah. And he says, "Listen, it's going to happen." So we spend half the day them training us on not how to die. So how not to die.
Yes.
And I'm like, this is not fun either, actually. I mean, we spend half the day this guy telling us ways how we can die and showing us how not to.
Mm.
Then after lunch, we get on an aeroplane. And the aeroplane starts taking off.
11,000 feet.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, in a book, I actually talk about it. It's like, it's an analogy of starting a business.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first part of the day, we're being taught on how not to die. That's like when you go to university. You get taught how to run a business and also the same if you've worked for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But once you start taking off, that's when people have realized that, you know what, they're enough of corporate, they want to go start their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to altitude, that's where the aeroplane is at the level you're supposed to jump.
Mm.
That's typically when most people have handed in their resignation letters and stuff.
Right.
And, you know, and then they open the door on the aeroplane. And that's like when you've now told your family that you've quit, and then your mother goes, "But
what?
Medical aid, life insurance, all these things," and because that's all the noise. When you open the door, it's very loud,
and
all the noise of society saying you shouldn't do this, you should stay corporate, you should stay employed, and then you jump out of the aeroplane, and that's hard, and that's and it goes quiet. It's very quiet when you jump.
Was it a tandem or you went alone?
I did a static line. So it's quiet because when 10 seconds after you've jumped, the parachute opens. So it's not free falling. So it's very, very quiet. It's the most quiet I've ever heard in my life.
It's like you're on your own.
Did they tell you?
And that's like your first month in running your own business. It's quiet.
Ah.
The phone is not ringing. There's no one.
Yeah.
There's no friends. There's nobody. And I mean it. There's nobody.
Yeah.
And you... coming down there fast and you've got the parachute open and at least you're checking if the parachute is open, and those are the lessons that you learned at school, at varsity and all and all that experience is coming back. Right, and you're making
quick question, did they tell you that your collar could be your worst nightmare, because if you don't secure it properly it's going to start flapping you on your cheek
and it's painful.
It's the most painful thing.
But what was interesting for me, because now you're falling by yourself, it's also just all that training coming back, and you start navigating and saying, that's where I'm supposed to go, that small X there on the ground, I must make it there. Right. And that's exactly how it feels when you run your own business. At some point, you take control and you start naturally start driving yourself to the
way you're
supposed to be.
Would you say trial and error breeds confidence?
Yeah, because when you land, you think to yourself, damn, why didn't I do this earlier? Like, I want to do this again. There's two things that come up when you land. It's like, wow, that was so cool. I want to do this again. And the second one is, why didn't I do it earlier?
Mm.
But true, I agree with that. I agree with that you never know until you've done it.
Mm.
Then it actually takes you back that had I done it earlier, maybe this or that. But then I still believe that as much as time runs out and people carry on, and then sometimes you compete, you check your peers where they are. You're like, yeah, we used to be in the same grade, and now he's like a multi billionaire of some sorts. But I still believe that even in that, in, especially with business as well, even in our personal lives, that everything happens according to the way it's supposed to happen. Mm. And if you focus the way you say that, like when you're on your own and you're listening to you, how your life is panning out, how your journey is panning out, and so it is easier for you to make decisions that will land you where you're supposed to land by yourself at a particular time. Mm. So you don't feel like, because sometimes most of business people, you get killed by the anxiety of before you even jump in. For instance, I was talking to when we were in San City, I was talking to one to my friends, and we say that imposed something syndrome, but then you imposed. Oh yeah, imposed. I'm gonna ask the English.
Imposter syndrome.
Yeah, the imposter syndrome. That you end up thinking, like for instance, now you have Vuyos, and I'm thinking, there's Vuyos. Maybe I couldn't do another thing, because before you even think it, you think of 100 million reasons why not. Why not you shouldn't do it. Mm. You know, and then when you already have that, you don't even need the other people's noise, the society to say, no, you can't do it like that, because you've already done it yourself, you know? So yeah. Sometimes people, when they start having those kind of anxieties, then they start taking themselves out of time, out of sequence for their own journey, because I'm like thinking, you probably had it easy, because when someone who doesn't know you, they're like thinking, you probably had it easy. And
I see it differently. I think, because I also, funny enough, had the same debate with somebody the other day. I do believe you should compare.
Yeah.
Because they were saying, you know those motivational videos people send on WhatsApp that, you know, people's things happen in different times, blah, blah, blah. So you mustn't look left or right, stick on your lane. I don't know. I think every race, and life is a race. Mm.
True.
Because there's a start and there's a finish, right? And there's people around you. Yeah. So, and we all know what a measure of success is. And this is why you get a gold medal if you come first, silver, and you know. So to say, well, things are going to happen when they're supposed to happen, I think for me, it feels like a cop-out, because then you're just going to coast. Mm. And I saw this because, like, my son raced go-karts, and a lot of people never do anything in their lives that is competition related. Mm-hmm. So I saw it. He was 4 when he started, right? And by the time he was 4 and a half, he'd get out of his car and look at what other people's times were.
Yeah.
So he could, okay. Because if you don't look at what other people, it's hard for you to measure and push yourself.
Yeah, true.
So to say, no, it's going to happen, and I'm sure it will, but I just think if, like an athlete who trains every day and trains, and you're competing against yourself, which is the time, but you're also competing against the field. Mm. And I think if you got that mentality of competing, you are more likely to achieve the desired goals than not, because there's a compelling thing that's driving you forward. And that's my take on it. And
we are in agreement. But what I'm saying is that, you see, like you are in a race and then you do compare with your peers. But there are other people who start comparing, like looking at what other people have done before they even start.
Yeah.
And just looking at that, they're like, maybe not.
They're not going to beat the Usain Bolt.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not going to get to the Usain Bolt level, you know. Yeah. And then already, like, you start copying out before you even do,
this
even
is true.
Beginning. Mm. Because so obviously there has to be a balance when someone is starting out. You say, okay, before, there's some elements, there's some ways where you can compare, and there's some stages where it really shouldn't matter at that time.
Especially, I hear you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think also, You kind of like touch on, you use the word paralysis. Mm. You know, you could do your research and compare and never start.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the idea is, yes, I need to see how others have done it, their success, their challenges,
and
so
actually
forth.
How I feel about business plans. Mm. It's contrarian, because everyone says, you know, I've got to write a business plan. I think it's total BS. Mm. You know, I think, how do you write a plan for something you haven't even started?
Exactly,
yet, right?
I agree.
Mm. You know, I think I'm a proponent of, like, that's how we started with Vuyos. We went to the local 4S farmers market and we started selling Borovos rolls every weekend.
Yeah.
That's real, because by the time you have to put any sort of forecast on stuff, it's based on real numbers. I know how much I sell every weekend, and then I can extrapolate, and I know which products don't sell. I can see my target audience there. I can see if they're black, they're white, they're male. I already got that all that information based on truth, not sitting there behind a spreadsheet and, you know, thumb sucking these things, you know. And I think one of the reasons why we don't have many entrepreneurs in the country is that we've got financial services institutions who are risk averse, and their sole business is to say no, it feels like. And secondly, because none of them are entrepreneurs, they always want to back the horse as opposed to the jockey. And I believe when we do become successful and there's more entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs will back an entrepreneur. They'll back a jockey before they'll back a horse. Because even if the horse fails, as long as I think this guy's got what it takes, I'm more willing to invest in him, regardless of whether he succeeds or, because even if he fails, I believe he's going to learn.
Yeah, but so very interestingly, if you had to run these financial institutions, how would you then manage their risk? Because you know, either way,
I'll tell you now for free. You got to look at it historically, where we are in the country and where we are in the world within the country. So, in America or any developed country, at some point there was the beginning. And whether it was the cowboy stages where banks were handing out money and people were claiming pieces of land and so forth, there was a time where people were being given money. Don't be confused about it. There was a time, right? Because in order to generate stuff, it costs money to generate stuff, right? So in any economy, if you look back intrinsically, there was a point in time where a risk was part of the business. So the challenge we are is that we are 21 years old and we find ourselves where we find ourselves. And we're sitting in a funny place where we are a developing economy. Now, the reason why our growth is sitting at negligible amounts, close to zero, is because we're not putting out money to grow it. So what I would do, to come back to your direct question, is like they do currently in the US, but it's mostly angel investor funding. It's private money. Although if you consider that the US government did bail out all those banks, so they even put out money even now when the times are tough. They did. Just in 2008, real money was used to bail out banks. So what I would do is, I would say, if in 10 businesses, you only need one to succeed. Because the one that succeeds phenomenally well. Brian Joffe went to the guys at Investec. And he said, listen, I've got an idea. I want to put up a business. Bidvest is now one of the biggest businesses. So imagine if you just invest in one that does well. Even if the nine others really tanked, one more than makes up for the ones that don't do well.
I've got this idea, and I kind of like want to pick your brain on it. How about, let's say, on the one, we say to you, we are going to invest, there's 10, and then we are going to invest in one. And how you pay us back, you need to make sure the second one is successful. And obviously becomes this ripple effect of...
You see, that's the thing. So even Steve Jobs didn't go out to create jobs. And that's the fallacy. As an entrepreneur, I shouldn't be tasked to fix social challenges. I should be seeing the opportunity and going to do it at the best of my ability and make it sustainable and successful. If I do that and I do that successfully, jobs will be created. The end result will happen, right? So I don't think it's fair if you task an entrepreneur to go make sure of another business. Go make sure that he is the most successful one within his means. You understand? And that's what I believe, because if the one is successful, it makes it such that even if the nine fail, there's enough money back in the economy that we can invest in another nine.
Okay. Ramster, do you have any WhatsApp?
Does that make sense?
It very, very much so. Any WhatsApp, Nyana?
Asia, my site is 3 days out of sequence. No. We do not.
Okay. Cool.
But now, Linda. There it went.
There it went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we'll leave it. We'll move on.
Yeah. We'll move on. Mouths. But it's unfair on me. You know that, right?
I do.
I'm glad you do. What I wanted to... Okay, you were talking about like being at the four ways market. And that's... Oh, yeah. Those are my friends, by the way. Greg and Zoe Straw.
And you say you know nobody.
Yeah, but then...
Rest my case.
What I like about the four ways market as well is that you're not... Okay, you've always had Vuyos, but then it's always there every Sunday.
We're not anymore.
Oh, yeah, not anymore. Yeah. But then there was another... those guys who sell wings, beautiful wings, that sell out in the first hour. I don't know why they don't bring a lot anyway. But they also, after I was talking to the guy who runs it, I forgot his name, and he was telling me that it was difficult to like branch everywhere for people to know about it. But when they got into like the four ways market, and then I saw them at the Delicious Festival and all of that. Say, when you take your business to the people sometimes, it helps because then it's like you're on the market, even though there is Vuyos in Soweto. Yeah. Yeah, we must talk about Vuyos in Soweto. Have you been to Vuyos in Soweto?
No, I've been to the one in Bram.
That was the first one.
Yeah.
And it used to get so packed, the one in Bram.
Yeah.
And now the one in Soweto. It is exquisite.
Maybe we should do an outside broadcast from there.
Maybe we should.
Anytime.
We should.
Actually, we do that quite a bit.
It is.
From the other radio stations.
You can mention
that.
You can mention that.
We had 5 FM the other day.
Okay. So I know some people who experienced Vuyos at the
market.
Yeah. And then to find out that there's actually the actual building Vuyos in Soweto.
I think that's why it should never be an excuse not to start anymore.
Yes, that's
whatever.
What I was saying. Yeah. That's
because you know, most people say, oh, you need big capital to start a business and all of that. The truth is you just need balls.
Yeah, because someone said, yeah, people never walk into my shop. People said, no, there's no need for them to walk.
Yeah,
walk towards them, take it to them and sell it to them.
Yeah.
And that's what I liked about what you did. Okay, I want to talk about Rush. Everyone.
Couldn't wait.
Yeah, Rush. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but we talked about your family. We talked about your mom.
But
now
you know,
you
rushed a beautiful, belated moment.
What?
You said such a beautiful, belated moment, and you rushed it. What you said, and I think we should have kind of like, you should have said it in slow motion, is that waiting for people to come to you is old school. You need to go towards the people. That's
true.
A belated moment.
Yeah.
Moving
right along. Okay. Miles has a brother. Elder brother called Rush. Okay, do you want to tell me about Rush? Do you want to tell everyone?
Why are you blushing?
Exactly, because before
why
I start
she,
going
why
like,
you blushing? Like, what's going on?
Rush is the most awesome
guy. Can I tell? Yeah, he is. Yeah. Can I tell you something about Rush?
Yeah.
I remember everyone had a crush on Rush. It rhymes. And and
he used to say, you rush, you crush.
Yeah, you rush, exactly. And he was that guy, the charm. I mean, up to until today, that guy's charm, that guy's social.
And I think that's also been very helpful in the business.
In the business, because
he's
when you walk
kind
into Vuyos and then you find Rush there, if you're going to buy one thing,
you end up buying more.
You'll buy the whole shop because you'll be just like, what else do you suggest?
No, I think he's been... biggest role model.
Yeah.
And you know, and also the challenges, I mean, in Bramfontein, I worked with my mother and my brother. You know, working with family is not for the faint hearted, you know.
Right.
Because you still have to have Christmas lunch with them. So it's funny, I used to say you should never work with family.
Yeah.
For the most part, I still agree with that. But at the same time, it's very hard to find people who've got your back, if you understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But the downside of it is that it takes you take a lot of emotional strain because, you know, if it's someone you don't have to see on Saturday, you know, you'll deal with the issues back on Monday. Whereas when you work with family, it's 24/7. My mother will tell you what she thinks about what you did.
Yeah.
At 9 p.m. You know what I mean? So it was the most interesting aspect. But also, you know, it's the weirdest thing. People would come to the restaurant because of the family feel.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
You know, because then all of a sudden it's not just my mother, it's everybody's mom. And I used to have frustration with my mom because even with staff, she'd like treat everybody like abandona baki, you know. And I'm like, but my, it makes it difficult for me to have tough conversations with people because bonga abandona bako manje, you know. And sometimes they take advantage. Or
and you want to fire your fellow brother or sister.
You know, and it just makes it immensely difficult. But it also makes it immensely amazing because everybody works and runs like a family.
Yeah.
So I guess the jury's out whether it's got to work for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And also depends what kind of family you have.
Would you say there was more loyalty when the family-oriented approach to business was implemented?
I think it's got pros and cons. Everything, I would say yes, but then when you're running a business without them as well, there's other benefits of less stress because, you know, to my previous point. So it's just based on your family. I think I was just lucky because we're tight with my family, so it just made it a little bit easier, you know.
Okay.
But there were tough times. Family. Back to family, because that's what I wanted to talk about Raj, because Raj is like so outspoken, so out there, straight to the point, and kind of a thing. Well, I know people get what I mean. So Raj is not a violent person, guys. But and he was to the point, and then looking, spending time with you, like all those years with you guys, the dynamics, the differences between you and Raj, you guys are not even the same at all. Yeah. But then you come together and you're like, yeah, now I get how it works, you know?
Yeah.
And how has it been being the, well, because you are the geek of the family. Okay, we always thought you're the geek of the family.
Yeah, I am.
Yes, okay. You are like the geek of the family. It's like, Arlene. He is like so, whatever. He's so like laid back, so quiet. And then he wants to, you're like trying to talk about something just like so light. And then he'll make a big deal out of it. I was like, no, we're not trying to understand the dynamics of why the chair was designed like that. We're just saying the chair is yellow. You don't have to tell us that, yeah, you know, had they like shifted the arm like this. Like, oh, there he goes again, there he goes again. But then being the geek like that and Raj being like, they're so socialite like this. And I know that you've learned millions and millions of things from Raj. What are the bestest lessons you got from your brother? And what are the things
I think the best one is just perseverance.
Yeah.
You know, he had a big, terrible car accident about 15 or so years ago. And that taught, because me, the nerd, I would have been miserable. I would have probably been the worst person. I mean, he was at his prime when he had the car accident, right? So me, I would have been the guy who was like bitching about how, why me kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, why now? He was like,
whatever.
Run stuff happens. And he was, yeah, I don't think I could have handled it the way he did. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Yeah.
But that taught me that, you know, life is not linear. You know, it's not just a straight line. Sometimes stuff happens, and what makes you successful is how you go through the tough times. It's how you get to the other side, right? So I think that for me was the lesson, that you just keep going. You know, Johnny Walker, you know, just get the top of scenario. So I think that's by far the best lesson that I learned from him. Is it, if it throws you stuff, duck.
Yeah. And if it gets you, yeah, just like,
just clean it off.
Clean it off. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
And move on.
Your book, just a synopsis of the book, and then also how can people get hold of it?
Yeah. So as I said earlier, the book is just basically, if you're sitting in a corporate somewhere or you're an entrepreneur and you're struggling and you're thinking, because what I discovered is that people quit because they think they're doing it wrong. Because there's no one to call and say, hey, listen, my debit orders are bouncing. So if you're going through a tough time as an entrepreneur, or you're thinking of becoming an entrepreneur, you're sitting in corporate and you're tired of sitting in traffic for an hour one way, another hour that way, and you just think there must be more to your life, then, but you've got the fear factor of not knowing how to start, and B, not knowing whether the tools, what you need to do to get it going. That's what the book is about. And it's just my journey, what I've learned, and the tricks and tips. And you can get it at all exclusive books. Mm-hmm. That's why they were calling. as well as on Amazon. Mm.
And I see it's currently sitting at top 20 as well.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, it's one of the top stolen books in the country.
Yeah.
Right now.
Well, I would see that. Is this my copy?
No. Everybody buys. Always be closing.
Didn't I give you my book?
ABC.
Yeah, wait. I gave you my book.
It's 155.
I gave you my book.
And that's because you're not an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur would have sold me your book.
No. Whoa.
I just told you about family.
I bought, how many books did I buy from you? I bought two or three books.
Mm. Yeah,
actually
yeah,
bought.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? You bought. It's fine. We'll talk about this.
How can people get hold of you? What's the best way?
Me, it's online, milescupeka.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
That easy. Mm. All right, Remsa?
Wait, before we go, can you just tell people where Vuyo Sin Soweto is? Because it's like so nicely placed. It's on Vilakazi Street. Yeah.
Can you please host us?
I just need to say that. It's on Vilakazi Street.
Yeah.
It's like, how did you even get there? Like, that is like the most...
And the most beautiful building.
Place. Oh, it is stunning. Yeah. We had a session 2 months ago.
Yeah.
A book club. We sat there upstairs.
Yeah.
In a little private lounge. Well, a big lounge. Yeah, over the balcony. You know, there's advertising. And then you just see all these nice cars coming and you can park your car there. Mm. And there are always those guys who are like, mama, 60 rand, they wash your car while you're having beautiful lunch and having drinks there. Please, you have to go to Vuyo's.
All right, location.
We are in Vilakazi Street and we do the most amazing modern African cuisine. We discovered that African food was... it's just never been upgraded, you know. So we took it upon ourselves to say, listen, just because you've had idombolo this way or omogodu, we've got a startup where we deep fry the mogodu. Mm. And, you know, people are like, deep fried mogodu? And then you eat and you go, damn, I've been missing out, you know. So, we're on Vilakazi Street. Come check us out.
Hmm.
Yeah, especially tomorrow. It's a nice chilled afternoon. We're busy, so if you book, that'll be ideal.
Can't you just like show? I'll come with my people.
Yeah, you can rock up, but it's ideal if you book.
But I thought I was family.
You can show up, but it's ideal if you book.
But then what? Family eats from the kitchen.
Yeah.
Wow, it's been absolutely fabulous having you here. When I Miles. Oh, this thing that you're doing to me, I hate it. I do not like it. I have to think about your name like every second, say what name to use. But yeah, I'm not going to explain that now on online on radio. But it's been good to spend time with you. Wish you the best. You are crazy. I've seen you do some of the most ridiculous things, and I don't think Vuyo is the most ridiculous thing you've ever done, because I can never limit you. I know. Probably in the next 2 years, you're going to do something even crazy. I will probably be having Vuyo's over parachute there by the Monte Casino. You never know, because you think like that. Mm. But yeah, it's been great having you here.
Thank you.
Yep. We can't wait to see how the business is going to pan out. Please go to Vuyo's. It's on Vilakazi Street.
Yep.
Go find it. Go eat there.
And
this guy
is
a chef. Buy the book as well.
Yeah.
And I saw how you do the prawns and it just looks disgusting. Like, you're going to make us not eat those things. And yeah, Maramza.
Sure.
I'm glad you're not wearing formal, you're in your casual way. And you match. I'm wearing purple dress. You've got a purple like tone thing, and we're in tune.
Yeah.
Since you're not working, you should probably take me out for breakfast. I'm hungry.
Done.
Been good.
Yep.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Who's next week? What's the date next week? Oh, next week we're talking all things drama. We are with Patuma Guarella and Portia Gumede in studio.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. All right,
cheers,
baby.
Bye-bye.
Bye. CliffCentral.com.